beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
Well, welcome this evening. Thanks for coming. How's been our day? Hope yours have not been stressful like my own. Hallelujah. It's been stressful. Amen. I wish I could have some time to just refresh and put myself together. All right. This evening, I'm welcoming all the ministers of God in the house. Mommy Bello, you're welcome. Daddy Bello. You're welcome, sir. Thanks for being a blessing to us in the immediate past few weeks. God bless you, sir. Mommy, good evening, ma. Thanks for being a blessing, too. Daddy, we appreciate you. Thanks for this privilege. Hallelujah. Every other person in the house, we welcome you. We appreciate you. That it's not just about the preacher. It's also about those who listen. If there's nobody to listen, then there's going to be no preacher. Amen. All right. Sister Lamide came to me on Sunday and was asking for topic. And really, I hardly give topic to. I just preach, except for a few times. I just whatever is on my heart, I just preach. You know, except you say, okay, this is the topic we should teach. Like, this is the warfare of the kingdom, but at the same time, you still have. So I shall give her something. I said, what did I call it again? Building defenses against treachery. Hallelujah. And I was telling Pastor Dele yesterday, I said, if we cannot talk about building defenses, we shall talk about something. Hallelujah. All right, but let's see how we can go. Amen. So we want to look at building defenses against treachery. And I told Lamide that don't come to me for another topic. That's if I'm going to be here for 2, 3, 4 weeks or whatever, that's just my topic. Don't come again for topic. Anything I say, just put it under building defenses against treachery. Amen. Okay, let's quickly go to Ephesians chapter 6. Some of these things, we just have to re-echo them again. Pastor, while ministry has touched some of these issues, especially during the COVID season. Let's take it from Ephesians chapter 6, from verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Yes? Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's where we are saying. No, take it back. He says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know, when the Bible is talking about we putting on the whole armor of God, we are thinking that it's going to be about, you know our concept of battle. Our concept of battle, of warfare. You know, how you carry gun and you are going to confront other, you know, soldiers and all that. But when Paul the Apostle was going to tell us the things we are really actually going to combat, he wasn't talking about, he later talked about, you know, principalities, powers, and all of that. But the first, he said that you may be able to stand what? Against the what? The wiles. Against the wiles. So if there's anything we are preparing for, if there's any battle that we are preparing for, it's not, as it were, about, you know, sometimes our concept of battles, But Paul is trying to tell us here that really our warfare, what we are trying to stand against, are actually schemes, strategies, methods, systems. Hello? Do you understand that? That what we're actually coming to stand against, the reason why we need to put the whole armor of God is because we are up against schemes. We are up against strategies. We are up against, you know, wisdom, well-crafted wisdom, well-crafted plan. So it's not just coming against the devil. There is something about the devil that we're actually up against, and that is his wiles. That is his wiles. You know, many years ago, I bought a book by Francis Frangipane. I've forgotten the topic. I see something about warfare. Yes. The three battlegrounds. And, you know, there is a line he wrote there. He brought out an old European proverb that says that age and treachery will always defeat youth and zeal. That is an old European proverb that age and treachery will always defeat youth and zeal. So when we are talking about the wiles of the devil, or when we are talking about the devil, we are not just talking about somebody who is coming against us in the times of might, in the times of, you know, physical strength, as it were. We are talking about somebody that the Bible described as somebody that was full of wisdom. Full of wisdom. Now, in Ezekiel chapter 28, don't go there. He said he was full of wisdom. You know? So when we are coming against him, we are coming against wiles. We are coming against schemes. We are coming against strategies. Now, what is the essence of this strategy? What is the essence of this wiles? What is the essence of these schemes? What is the essence of this plan? What is it trying to achieve? And that's why we are looking at building defenses against treachery. The best or the greatest treacherous, in quotes, is the devil. What do I mean by that? Okay, what's treachery? Actually, what I want to talk about really is the word deception, which is actually from treachery. Because treachery talks about systems of deception. How do you orchestrate deception? It talks about the organization of schemes and tricks to deceive a person. Hallelujah. And I remember that some weeks back, I was telling us here that one of the battles we are going to be fighting more at the end of the age is actually the battle against deception. And I was trying to show us that God is also, you know, there are many things through which God speaks to us that if we are not careful, we will not get. One of them are the events that happen around us. Events, things that happen, they are actually communications of God. Now, when you look into our present day, when you look into our time, you discover that one of the most prominent crime is what? Scams. Hello? Yahoo, yahoo. Do you understand those kind of things? Those are the prominent, that's the most prominent. Of course, people see armed robbery and all of those things and all that. But when you come into in the aspect of crime, you talk about crimes that are related to deceit, crimes that are related to cheating, crimes that are related to swindling people. And it's a message to us that in this last time, we are going to be having issue more with deception, with treachery, than with any other thing. And that's why it is important for us that we pay attention to this issue of deception, to this issue of treachery. Hallelujah. I said treachery. I talk about satanic system of deception. That's what I mean by treachery. I'm looking at it not from human perspective now. I'm looking at it from the devil's perspective, from satanic perspective. So we can say building defenses against satanic treachery. And I'm saying it's a system of deception. That is the plan, the method, the strategies by which Satan deceives. Amen. That's what I mean by treachery. Talking about the organization of, you know, the weaving together, the alignment, the connection of wisdom, of schemes, of devices that he puts together to deceive. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, you discover that one of the major preoccupations of Satan or the devil has been the issue of what? Deception. Hallelujah. Let's go to Revelation chapter 12. Amen. I'm just going to take this teaching very gently. So just, I'm not in a hurry. Revelation chapter 12. I'll take the reading from verse 7. It says, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, yes, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven, yes, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan," which does what? King James may not be, that word deceived, meaning deceived, is a present continuous tense, which deceives the whole world. Hallelujah. He said, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Hallelujah. So we see here that when they were going to describe Satan, the only action or the only thing they could use to describe his operation is what? Deception. They didn't talk about afflicting people. They didn't talk about, it was the issue of deception. Why? Because that is a major assignment or thing that Satan has been preoccupied with. Let's look at Revelation chapter, let's go to chapter 20. Let's go to chapter 20. I just want to establish that Revelation 20. Let's take it from verse 1. "And I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand." Yes. "He laid hold of the dragon," that serpent of old, "who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Yes. Why? "And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more." Till the 1,000 years were finished. Hallelujah. So the reason why they have to bound him, why? Because God wanted to move into the midst of, God still wanted, now at this point, salvation agenda was still going on. God was still trying to save men. And so that the work of salvation can become more rapid and effectual, they had to bind this person. And the only reason, the reason they told us they were going to bind him was so that he would not be able to deceive the nations. Hallelujah. Look at verse 10. Give us verse 10. "The devil who deceived them was cast into the..." Okay, take it back a little. Let's take it back. Okay, from verse 6. Let's see verse 6. "Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over saw the second dead has no power. But he shall be priest of God and of Christ, and shall reign within 1,000 years. Yes. Now, when the 1,000 years have expired. Now, look at it. Now, when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison. Yes? And we go out to do what? To deceive the nations. That is who he is. It's his assignment. Because he himself was deceived.
foundation of Satan's fall was deception. Not from anywhere. It was self-deception. If I have time, I'll show you later in subsequent weeks. He himself is a product of deception. And now, they said that old serpent. Mind you, what was the first thing that was identified with the serpent? Give us Genesis chapter 3. You know, he told us, he said, the devil, that old serpent, called the devil. Genesis chapter 3, let's look at verse. Oh yeah, take it from verse 1. Genesis chapter 3 from verse 1. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam... This chapter... No, I said verse 1. I said verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, as God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Yes. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden. Now, blah, blah, blah. Now, please help me look for where the woman was now telling God what happened to her. When God came and was questioning them, you know the story, the woman sinned. Verse 13. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is it that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent did what? The serpent did what? The serpent did what? Deceived me. That's Satan. There's nothing you can do about that. It has always been the issue of the, when he first appeared in the scene. You know, this is the beginning. This was his first appearance. As far as we know, in terms of his dealings with men, this was his first appearance. And the Lord God said to them, what is this you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. Hallelujah. What I'm trying to show this evening, that the primary assignment and operation of Satan, of the devil, has been the issue of deception. And it's not just about deception. Now, there are different ways you can look at deception. Now, what does it mean to deceive a person? So deceive means to lead astray. Hello? It means to lead somebody astray, to make somebody to go from a right path to a wrong path. That's what it means to deceive. Hallelujah. But it's more than that. I write there, it says to deceive. Now, I like this one. To deceive means to make somebody believe a lie. Hello? I'm lying to you. But I want to make you to believe that lie. I don't know if you understand that. It's a lie. But I want to make you to believe it. Because if you don't believe it, you won't act according to it. So when we're talking about deception, we're also talking about making a person to believe a lie. You are being lied to, and yet you are believing. They say, all these funny stories we used to hear. Somebody is in the car, and then they say to a car, to learn a boot, something. Is we need somebody that can help us to remove the jars of the money. And then all of us, we have to contribute. And then they say, everybody will start talking, how much do you have? Then the innocent soul there, they say, you have to have. And then you know, it's a lie. But when deception is in operation, you will just believe. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's deception, to make a person to believe a lie. Now, another thing that I wrote there, I said, it also means to cause somebody to hold a wrong view or a wrong opinion. That is at the more gentle level of deception. When you make somebody to hold a wrong view or somebody to hold a wrong mental position, it is also deception. is to make somebody to accept something that is not, the opinion is wrong, but the person the person is holding that opinion, even though it is wrong, it is still deception. Hallelujah. Now, when you look at all of these things, you saw that, so when we are talking of deception, you understand what we are talking about. It means that to lead somebody to a wrong path, to make a person to turn from a right path to another path, it means to make somebody to hold a wrong view, to hold a wrong opinion. And the one I like most is the one that talks about making people believe a lie. You discover that if God is master deceiver, if people decide to be deceived, God is there. Do you know at the end of the age, one of the things that characterizes the end of the age in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, don't go there. Is that because they did not receive the love of the truth? He said God will send them a strong delusion that they may do what? Believe a lie. God himself, he will send them a strong delusion. You know when somebody is deluded, you are seeing yourself in a state where you are not. And you are enjoying that you are there. You see that, I can't see that I'm a king, and everybody is looking at, are you really serious? And then you tell yourself, you know, I'm a king. Hallelujah. God said that's what he would do. He said we send them strong delusion. They would believe a lie. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's make progress. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24. So we understand. Now, before we go to Matthew chapter 24, listen. Now, deception. Now, in the Greek, there are different words that were used to describe deceive and all that. Not all of them carry the sense of trick. Not all of them carry the sense or the element of trick or of cheating on someone. But that's the one that I really like. And that's what I really want to, because we are talking about we are looking at it from the angle of wiles. We're looking at it from the angle of wiles. You can make a person to hold a wrong opinion or a wrong view if you may not need to go into some very detailed level of cheating and trick and wiles. But there are some levels of deception that require deep trickery. And that's what Satan does, because that is the one that is really tied to the issue of salvation, because that was what happened to Eve. The word that was used for deceive, give us 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 12, let's see what is there. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 12. And I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. Yes? For Adam was formed first, then Eve. Yes? And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into what? Transgression. Now, the word deceive here is not the same like the word deceive in some other places. This one has element of cheating. This one has element of trick involved. In fact, the one that was, Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived. The two deceived are different words. Both of them have element of trick, but the second one that was used for the woman means to be thoroughly deceived, as in you fearfully. As in, the first deceive is apatau. The second one is ex apatau, meaning that there was a thoroughness involved. It was high level of wiles. It was high level of trickery that Satan brought. Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived for a lot of reasons that we have to really discover. We really have to find out why was Adam not deceived and the woman was deceived, even though eventually Adam still partook of the transgression, but the reasons were different. That's not even my emphasis. Hallelujah. So I'm talking about deception that has to do with schemes. Deception that has to do with, you know, well crafted out wisdom, a deliberately orchestrated deception. You know, in that Genesis chapter 3, it said the serpent was more cunning. KJV used the word subtle. And that's the strength. That will tell you that what Eve was confronting was actually wisdom. What Eve was confronting was actually wise, were schemes. The serpent didn't come, he came well prepared and planned, and he had his schemes well plotted. He arranged it. Amen. The question he even asked, everything was deliberate. We need to know this thing. We need to understand that. Because why? Because actually the peak of deception is in the last times. As deception, listen, as deception opened the age, deception, we close it. Hello? Genesis chapter 3, deception. Was it not deception? What did you see in Revelation chapter 20? It was deception. So if there's any time we really need to be aware of this issue of deception than any time, it's now, the times we live in. And let's look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24. Let's look at Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, let's take it from verse 3. Matthew 24 from verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world? Yes? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man do what? That's a warning. And it's really a warning we must give attention to. He said, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. You have to be careful that you maintain the path you are on. You have to be careful that nobody is able to cause you to deviate from this path that you have known. You have to be careful that you know what you are holding and you hold on to it. Amen. You have to be careful that nobody makes you to believe a lie. Why? Because they are going to be lies. Look at the verse 5 of it. Look at verse 5 of it. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall do what? Deceive many. Amen. Listen. The deception is going to come from within. That's what he's saying. Hello? He said, they will come in my name. They will say what? I am Christ. When we are saying the same things, what's the basis? Are we not saying that Jesus is Christ? They were not calling themselves Christ. You don't get the gist. It's not as if these people were calling themselves Christ. They acknowledge that it's Christ. So you will invite them into your fellowship. Why? Because it's as if we have a common ground, but it's a lie. It's a lie. For many shall come in my name. Now, did John not tell us in 1 John chapter 4, when he was talking about the Antichrist, he said they came out from where? Give us 1 John chapter 4. Is it chapter 4 or chapter 2? Let's quickly look at that. Is it chapter 4 or chapter 2? Let me quickly look for it. 1 John... No, there's a place that talk about they went from among us. Have you found it? No, it's not this one. Of which chapter, sir? Sorry, this was not part of my... Where is the scripture now? Okay. Look at verse chapter 2, verse 18. 1 John 2:18. 1 John 2:18. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is what? The last time. Verse 19. They went out from where? But they were not. They went out from us, but they were not of us. Meaning that there were things in the outward that we could relate with together. There were things in the outward that we could relate with together, but when you go into the deep of it, when you go into the substance of it, they were not of us. But they were among us. So these people will come, they will come in my name, they will say that I am Christ, but by reason of we opening our gate to them, by reason of we opening our company to them, they will have opportunity to infiltrate. And before you know it, people would have been deceived. For many shall come in my name saying I'm Christ. Let's go back to that Matthew chapter 24. I'm trying to make us see that the end of the age will be characterized by much deception. There's going to be a lot of deception. Matthew chapter 24. Let's look at verse 11. Matthew 24, 11. Look at it. And many false prophets shall rise and shall do what? Deceive many. Verse 24. Look at verse 24. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders. In so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Hallelujah. For there shall rise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders. In so much that if it were possible, if there is any space for if it can happen, they shall deceive the very elect, meaning that Satan is going to push deception to its uttermost. I don't know if you understand that. Satan is going to unfold everything. That's when you're going to see the deposit of wisdom for deception that Satan has. Satan is not going to keep anything back. He's going to release all. Why? Because if possible, he wants to deceive the very, very elect. Hallelujah. And we are in it and we are advancing in it. There are a lot of deceptions that are already going on. You know, I told you the other time that at its mild level, deception is to make somebody to hold a wrong view, to make somebody to hold a wrong opinion. It's a dimension. We already have many of that. You know, like the issue of once saved, forever saved, we used to always have problem with. Those are deceptions. They will just, you know, it's a wrong opinion, but people will be, it's a function of deception. Hallelujah. It's a function of deception. There are many wrong, even, see, as little as, it's not God's plan for you to prosper and be poor. It's a deception. I don't know if you understand it. It's a deception. It's a deception. Like, all I just, that God is not interested in my, if God is not interested in my physical welfare, what he just wants to do is to save my soul, you have been deceived. So there are dimensions, there are levels of, there are all forms of deception already going on. But listen, by the time we begin to advance towards the end of the age, deception is going to begin to get to its climax. At that level, it's not just going to be about people having all wrong opinion alone. It's going to be about people even denying the faith and denying the Lord that bought them. Those are dimensions. There are classes of deception that Satan is going to. Now, I want us to look at what does the devil achieve, or what's the purpose of the devil for deception? Why does the devil always want to deceive? I want us to look at the life of, we're going to go back to the beginning and see what, you know, we're going to go back to that Genesis chapter 3, and we're going to look at deception, you know, how it affected, how it, you know, began, and how it affected the world so that we can also learn from it. Amen. Let's go back to that 1 Timothy chapter 2 again. 1 Timothy chapter 2, that verse 14. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into what? Transgression. See, there are a lot of things we have to learn. I have a feeling that there was already confusion in the garden. When I mean confusion means disorderliness. It means that things have been turned upside down. Hello? When the follower becomes the leader, there's confusion. When he that is supposed to follow is the one that is now leading, when the listener is now the one teaching, there's confusion. I believe that was already something like that. Because listen, if you read what precedes this scripture, Paul began to say things like, I don't allow women to teach. Let them listen. Let them learn. And I was reading something. I discovered, they said in the times when Paul was reading this thing, it was men that used to have education. So most times the women come to the house like unlearned. Mind you, and this is just like a distraction. Don't forget, he said it was Adam that was first what? From. When God was giving commandment and instructions to Adam, Eve was not even there. How many of you are aware? Hello? Eve was not yet formed. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2. Oh, this one is a distraction for me now. Why did I go there? It's not really part of the thing. Genesis chapter 2. Let's take it from verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, who did they command? Who did they command? The man. It was Adam. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely what? Die. Verse 21. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon what? Adam. And they brought who? They brought who? Eve out. As at the time the instruction was being passed to him, as at the time God was giving commandment to Adam, Eve was not yet formed. She may be existing in it. Of course, she was already inside. She was in Adam, but she was not yet material. So it was Adam that communicated that information to her. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. That instruction was passed to her from Adam. Amen. So when I say that the listener, when the listener becomes the spokesman, there is confusion. And you know what God, what was God's quarrel with Adam? He said, because you listen to the voice of your wife. Hello? That is a perversion. Listen, I'm not bringing that to marriage. I'm trying to explain a spiritual principle. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is a perversion. He said, because you listen to the voice of your wife and you did that which I asked you not to do. There's confusion. There's already a disorderliness. That place, God has to help us to open and unravel that place. But that's not even my issue. That's not my point. The point I'm trying to take me back to 1 Timothy. That's why I said that was a distraction for me. Take me back to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Take me back to 1 Timothy. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into what? Transgression. Listen, while Like I said, I'm still trying to find out. I'm still trying to find out why should Adam, why did he do that? Because Adam's transgression was not a product of deception. Hello? It wasn't. Adam knew the serpent was lying. That's the implication. If Adam was not deceived, it meant that Adam knew the serpent was lying. Because we said to deceive means to believe a lie. So if he was not deceived, he knew this is a scam. The wife fell for it and then he joined her. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. That one means that she deviated from a known truth. Are we together? She broke a known commandment. Are we together? She did what? She broke a law. Because that was a law. It was an instruction. It was a commandment. Don't eat of every tree in the garden you may eat, but of the one in the midst of the garden, the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, don't eat of it, for in the day you eat of it, you will die. It was not, it wasn't something they did not know. She knew. Hello? Because when Satan came to her and said, as the Lord God said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden, he said, we can eat, but of the one that is in the midst of the garden, God said we should not touch it. You know, lest we die. God didn't have touch. She added that one to it. It's okay. Lest you die. Now, look at that. Hello? She declared, she said it. She told Satan, so she told the serpent, there is a clear communication of instruction. Don't eat of this tree. And then, she had preached to Satan. And then after, she took of that same tree and ate. What happened between that and now? There's a lot that happened. Maybe from next week we'll begin to see it. That's where the real scheme, that's where the real device, that's where the real wile is. But what is important is that she fell into transgression. She violated God's commandment. She violated a known truth. This is, that's what I'm saying. These are high levels of deception. Amen. But it didn't end there. She was not just, take us to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And look at what the Bible says about Adam too. Romans chapter 5. Where is it? Romans 5. Okay. Give me from verse 12. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Whereby as by one man, therefore just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned, yes? For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law, yes? Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned, according to the likeness of the what? Transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. Both of them partook, they became co-transgressors. Hello? Even though what led to their transgression was different, Eve was deceived, she fell into the transgression. Adam, I don't know whatever, for what purpose, he also partook of that what? Transgression. Listen, one of the first recognized purpose, when Satan is coming with deception, the first thing he's aiming at is to cause you to transgress. Now I'm talking about at the very high level of deception. What does it mean? Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 2. Let me use something to 2 Peter chapter 2. Wow.
I thought I had a long time, a lot of time, but it's not so.
2 Peter chapter 2, let's take the reading from verse 20. Let's take it from verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. Yes? For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to do what? To turn. Hello? To do what? To turn. What led to this turn? Take us to maybe verse 18. Let's read it down from there. Yeah. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh. Through wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. Meaning, can you give us another version of this verse? Can you give us another version? They drag about themselves with empty foolish boasting, with an appeal to twisted sexual desires. They lure back into sin those who have barely escaped from a lifestyle of what? Deception. See, all of us here are potential. We all are potential victims of this thing. Is that they have barely escaped. Meaning that God was still doing a work. The work was not yet fully, but so they lure back into sin those who have barely escaped from a lifestyle of deception. Yes, let's look at it. They promise freedom, but they themselves are slaves of sin and corruption. You think Satan is not bound to sin? Satan is the first servant of sin. Satan is serving sin. Amen. You don't know the logic. You can't use death until you have mastered sin. So that was what he was telling Cain. He said, listen, sin is coming now. After a while, you when you learn it and you master it, you now start using it. Hello? So when you see somebody is handling death, know that person has already been overcome of sin. So they promise freedom, but they themselves are slaves of sin. For you are a slave to whatever controls you. This is beautiful. Give us verse 20. And when people escape from the wickedness of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and then get tangled up and enslaved by sin again, they are worse off than before. Yes? It would be better if they had never known the way to righteousness than to know it and then reject the command. They were given to live what? A holy life. Hallelujah. Can you understand it? I'm saying, at the heart of deception is to cause you to turn, is to cause you to transgress, is to cause you to reject non-truth, non-commandment that has been handed over to you. This is a high level of deception. And this was where Satan went back. This was at the beginning. This was at the very beginning. Amen. See, we commit sin. Hello? We do what? We commit sin. God forgives us. You remember John said there is a sin not unto death. Meaning that there are thresholds you don't cross. When you cross those thresholds, hello, these are the kind of thresholds. I can't go far tonight. Let me listen. It wasn't God that killed Adam and Eve. God said, "There's a tree in the midst of the garden of." Of the knowledge, he said, don't eat, for in the day you eat of it, you what? You will die. The death is in the tree. The commandment was to save them from the death. Hello? I don't get what, do you get what I said? God didn't kill them. That tree is a program of death. If there is death, like, is it, was it Elisha that the servant came and said there is death in the pot? They went to gather some things and then they were cooking it. I said, ah, there's death in that pot. And then he heals it. The death was in the tree. Hello? So when God was saying, that tree, don't eat of it. Because in the day you eat of it, you will what? You will die. I'm not the one that will kill you. Listen to me. God's response to their disobedience was to send them out. What killed them was in the tree they ate. Hello? That's why Yoruba used to say, one bar or more the yellow way only one of the people lost their attitude on logic. Do you get, so why you say, English? Oh, okay. What's English now? Eh? You are telling the chick, don't go to the donkey to eat. He say, these people don't want me to eat. When you go there and eat, and they all come down, take this away. That's the, do you understand what I'm saying? By snake. Do you understand? Listen to what I'm, listen. The commandments of God are edges. The instructions of God are edges. They are lifesavers. They are to protect you from predators. So when God gives instruction and God says, this thing, don't do it, is actually a preservation from death. Most of the time, God judges us. It's not the essence of the judgment is to ensure that God can still reach us in salvation. The real problem is not in what God does, it's in what we do. Amen. That's like, sometimes your spiritual progress is not every time about what God actually does. It's about some things you found out in God, then you do, and then you see some things are just opening up for you. Some things are just opening up for you. And then God say, why are you blessing this? You are not blessed. Both of you are in the garden. All the trees are there. You are the one, this person only discovers something and then he's enjoying it and then his life is making progress. Hallelujah. So, at the heart of every deception is transgression. It's to cause you to depart, it's to cause you to turn from the path of righteousness, from that which God, you know, in Hebrews chapter 10, he said there's no sacrifice for sin. He said, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, then we willfully sin. After we have received what? The knowledge of the truth. Amen. All right, so can I go to another point? I have less than 5 minutes. Okay, so you see that many times, and when you bring it to the basic level of deception, apart from not just transgressing, actually transgression is a strong word. Transgression it has something to do with when you intentionally do something, when you deliberately do something. It's very strong. That's why that was the problem God created for the children of Israel, because the word transgression is also the word they use for them. God brought the law to them, knowing they will break the law. They broke it and then they were in trouble. Hallelujah. But remember what Paul said. He said the commandment was meant for life. Hello? He said the commandment were what? Meant for life. So what I'm saying in essence, so this leads me to another point of the purpose of deception. And what's that thing? Is to bring us into a state of vulnerability. When we are open to satanic attack. Hello? Listen, every act of transgression opens your world to Satan. Look at Romans chapter 5. Give us KJV. Romans chapter 5, give us verse 12. Let's see. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, what happened? What happened? As by one man, what happened? Sin did what? Do you see that? And what? Death by what? What opened that door? What opened that door? It was that transgression. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Are we together? He said, wherefore, as by one man sin entered. He didn't say by one man sin. As by one man sin what? Enter. So Adam was the gatekeeper for the world. He was the one that was it not, in fact, it was not just about the world. There is something that I'm saying, something was that happened. Satan was supposed to keep the garden. Adam was supposed to do what? Keep the garden. He was supposed to mount a guard. It shows that something also went wrong. Because those two things God told him, he said, keep the garden and do what? And tend it. Dress it, cultivate it. Amen. He was supposed to cultivate it and protect it. How the intruder was able to come in, you know, I'm giving you many. By now you already have enough project topics. Hallelujah. You already have enough. You know how many project topics I've given to you already? This is real research. You know, after research, you now cause trouble. If you didn't cause trouble, you have not, you must give us something. So I'm giving you a lot of project topics. Hallelujah. So what I'm saying is this. Sin, transgression, when people turn away like that, they open their world. So it was Satan that opened the world to sin, and sin was not in the world. Death was not in the world. Hello? Satan, Adam did not have immortality. But he could also not die for as long as death is not present. Do you get that? He didn't have immortality. But God put him in a place where there is no death. So for as long as he keeps that atmosphere, he's going to continue to live. But by subtlety, Satan came to him, and by himself, he broke that covering. Like I told you the other time, I said the commandments of God are like edges. They are supposed to protect and keep and guard you within a sphere. The moment you transgress and go beyond, what you do is that you open that wall. You become vulnerable. Satan can now come in and with all his operations. Hallelujah. It's time up. I want to be disciplined. Hallelujah. Next week, by God's grace, I'll be back. We'll continue from there. Thank you very much.
Hallelujah. Please submit your project topics at the end of this meeting. What you are going to bring next week after you've done your own personal research. Amen. That was good. Glory to God. What shall we say? I don't think I need to summarize, but let me do a little summary. The whole essence of kingdom warfare is predicated on what happened in the garden. Because if there was no transgression in the garden, the kingdom would not be warring. There will be no battle. And he has told us that the primary reason for deception is to make you and I break the edge. It says, he that breaketh the edge, the serpent will bite. It's a consistent, Satan is very consistent. It's so easy for you to understand him. But the problem is that for one reason or the other, many of us are gullible. I noted it here. I'm part of that book you read, the battlegrounds No. One of the most important area of warfare is our mind. It's fought in our minds. It's fought in the realm of the mental. And once you can be defeated there, you can be defeated anywhere. And so, many of us are unaware that every day we are under a barrage of deception. Every day. One day, this happened at home. I don't know, it was between Brother Steve and the twins. I don't know, they were watching it. Something was going on television, I don't know what. So, I think it was Steve that was watching. They got there and changed the station. And Steve was like, am I correct? I don't know. And Steve said, this is a scam. It's not true. There is a lie. And they said, the one you want to watch, because there is also a lie. The film you are watching, you know, film, Hollywood, everything is a lie. But the football we are watching, Arsenal versus Man U, is also what? It's also a lie. Anything in this world is a lie. Praise God. Amen. And when he was talking about death, that you need to master sin before you can handle death, I said, John Wick. Praise God. Amen. It's so funny, but we meet it every day. But more importantly, I'm seriously speaking. Every day you are being attacked to believe a lie. It could be marriage. It could be in relationships. It could be how you handle even your marriage. They can tell you that in our culture, the husband beat the wife is a lie. Are you with me? And some people will believe it and they start acting it out. Have you heard? Don't trust men, no. You will carry that into marriage. You have believed a lie. You think that they only deceive you in church. They deceive you in politics. They say politicians don't know why people believe them. They know they're lying. And they find that people believe them and they're like, show me around, guys. Can't they think? Amen. In school, they deceive you. Amen. They say this particular topic, forget it, it's like that. You graduate and find out that they've lied to you from the beginning to the end. It doesn't work like that. Mutu, in case you don't know, most people here, you see that is sand. It is not argument, too. It is how to bribe lawyer, judge you. You will get to court and find out that it is not your Igbo that wins cases. I'm only telling you ahead of time. It's a lie. It's the whole world, light in darkness. Somebody created the system. Praise the Lord. And you need to be careful. And that's why I put it there, that doctrines drive the world. Philosophies drive the world. And so you have to come to a place where you must know how to judge. The Bible says, who have come to the place, that was Paul writing to the Hebrews chapter 5. No, I think it's 13 or so. He said, they can discern between good and evil. You must develop discernment. Because should land, if he lands that program for you, if God does not help you, you are gone. He said, that thing he said, that because they refuse to accept truth, it sent them strong delusion. So that you understand that basically it's God that is protecting all of us. He's the one protecting us. If he doesn't protect us, we don't stand a chance. To say that one word will destabilize you. One word. Do you know you're a woman? And then my wife, I wish you Tony will bring the enemy. Operation here now. Would you last on me? You say juju. It's deception. It's a powerful operation. The wisdom that is not in this realm. A few weeks ago, a woman, white woman, white, not like white, like white. Believed and told the whole world that she was black. And they believed it. I don't know how she was able to do it. Professor, and always went to school as a black. Collected scholarship, did everything. Went to a black university, taught, behaved like. Until one day she came out and said, I'm actually not black, I'm white. My father and mother are white. I was born in New York or so. And they say, I don't work, put their hands on their head, hey, we are deceived. Oshie Bereni. You know how change, how they change us? What happened? Were we not deceived? We're deceived. They've been deceived. Every look, deception is running the whole world. One guy wrote me, he said, his husband died. Senegalese minister, and left $30 million, and he's looking for minister of God to bless them with. I said, look, you are just out there for one night. And it appears to me that you don't have a talent for it. Go and look for another job. How much is the whole budget of Senegal? That one person will see $30 million. Then of all the people in Nigeria, show the family that can spend $30 million, it's me in Nigeria, you want to come and help? I beg. Look for another line. We have grown above that. But some of you, if you are in the car, I say, there is dollar in the car. How much? People are falling for it. Praise God. God will help us in Jesus' name. But he said something that is, I don't know, let me say my own. Why did Adam listen to his wife? He said something had gone wrong in that family. What could have gone wrong? There was a switch in roles. He handed over the authority of the home to the woman. The woman was already dictating terms. And women, that's why you must be very careful. This, it's inborn in you to want to manipulate. You must fight it. It's a warfare you must fight. But I notice, good brother, I did Ramoto, but I'm not a patient, I'm not worried. Your husband, you are telling me, still. Yeah, what? Women are very interesting people. Was it not Sarah that says, this is my maid, go and sleep with her? It was the one that now said, my seed be upon you. And Abraham was angry, I said, God, listen to her. God, do you know that it was what that caused? That's a woman, no. If you can successfully, Ms. Ogido, you're looking at me, that's your eye. The Lord will deliver me. If you can successfully handle a woman, you will rule a country. You will rule a country. I'm not saying oppressor. I'm not promoting oppression, no. Manage. Because they are a bundle of wisdom. they can be called and not at the same time. Can you imagine a woman is pregnant and said, I want to drink ice cream, and you hit the road 2 a.m. in the night, and you get your crunches and bang the door, please, I need ice cream, and by the time you get back, ice cream. What do you want to do about that? That's a woman. Praise God. But she just, that's just been her. Amen. So, Pastor will continue next week to tell us why Adam ate that thing. But I suspect. Okay. That's a revelation. That's my own project now. Amen. Something had gone wrong. The man was already listening. Because, listen to me. That woman, I would have expected the woman to tell Satan, I was not the one that was giving the instruction. Let me call the person who has the authority to come and talk to you. That's how to do it. But she stood there and began to discuss. Things with the Savior, she said, I don't know anything about you. Then so confidently, as if you are in charge. Omo, come around. Not if I did that. I'm married rather than in the garden. That is the technology, because the people who will deceive you will not come from outside, they will come from inside. It's people you know. In these last days, my friendship is, as long as you are following Christ, I will be your friend. The day I notice that your leg has gone one way, I will... I will go another way. You say, is it, Pastor, you're not walking in love. Let me get to heaven. I will explain myself. I'm not following you to hell. If I say, bros, your leg has gone the other way. You say, no, that's the way I'm going. God bless you. I've gone my way. Because I understand the warfare that I'm fighting in these last days. Anybody, any of us can are vulnerable. That's why we need one another. That's why, you see, one small teaching that is not balanced can set you off course. One small teaching. That's why we need people around to say, no, come back. Mm-mm, that's not how. No. Then we trash it. Iron sharpens iron. And a man, the countenance of his friend. That's how you're going to make it in this last days. But you are a solo runner. It won't work. The person we are contending with is an ancient warrior. I had a testimony. I'm going to give you time to. This is your clock that you did here. I have my own here. Thank God. All of you, I'm just looking at all of you. You're just doing your own. This one, I'm not following again. Praise God. Because pastor did not use up his time. We will live here by 7 by God's grace. Amen. But if we can leave before, I don't mind. This brother said they had a spiritual. So let me tell you that story. It will take long. Amen. Any question or contribution so that I want to keep you here longer than necessary. Anybody that has a question? Thank you. We are at war. But the nature of the war is not like America versus Germany. It's a chess game. It's chess. It's strategy. It's you anticipating satanic moves and where it's going to lead you. But wherever temptation, and that brings me to the concept of temptation, because it will always want to get you to break the edge. And God will help us in the name of Jesus. We need to be wise. Jesus Christ, be wise as a serpent. Because you're going to confront him, you must be wise as a serpent. You must understand strategy. You can't be simple-minded. That is why you have to be taught by the Spirit. He has to teach you. He has to let you know things. See, people, let me just say this. See, what do you call peer pressure? It's a form of deception. I want to be like. It's a deception. It doesn't matter. It's a deception. All those small, small, tiny things, they are all operations of a wrong spirit. The Bible says in the last days, men will give heed to seducing spirits. And spirits are in Kedar. One small one will introduce you to the bigger one. The bigger one introduces the bigger one. In 10 years, we will not recognize you again because you have gone astray. In geography, if you draw a straight line, if you follow that straight line, and that line goes around the world, this line will come and meet you here. Abi, am I talking? But if there is 1 degree deviation, by the time that thing goes around the world, you'll find that that line will meet you in Kutonu. You will never meet again. But it started with a small little deviation that people say it does not matter. Please, that attitude that it does not matter must die. Otherwise, you are primed for trouble. Can we bow our heads and pray? And ask God to keep us. It gives us his commandments. The psalmist prayed a lot of prayers. He said, give me your commandments that I may live. Show me the path of life. Show me the things I need to do. This night, I have a new perspective to law, to laws and to commandments. That's like an edge to give us life so that we may live. God said to Israel, he says, obey these commandments that you may live. Can you pray and ask God, help me? Some of us, we have propensity. We are simple-minded. We believe anything. We don't offend. We don't want to offend anybody. Amen. Anybody tells us we are okay with it. You can't continue with that kind of attitude. You need the Lord to upgrade you. Lord, upgrade my mind. Upgrade my heart. Upgrade my capacity. upgrade my capacity to believe truth, upgrade my capacity to receive it, upgrade my capacity to follow it. I don't want to be susceptible. I don't want to fall into the deceptions of the enemy. Jesus warned. He said, the first instruction he gave, he said, be careful, let no man deceive you. Can you ask the Lord, help me? Left to myself, I won't make it. Except the Lord builds the house, those who are building the house, they are building in vain. Except the Lord watches over the city, they watch men watch, but in vain. It's a vain thing to wake up, run around. Except the Lord builds the house. Lord, I'm committing my heart, I'm committing my soul into your care. In these last days, I don't want to be a prey to the devil. I don't want to fall into his deception. Give me a strong heart. Adam could not say no. Even he knew that Satan was lying. Whatever would have made him not to say no. Lord, I want to strengthen me, to enable me to say no. You now understand Titus chapter 2 verse 11 that the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us to say no. Lord, strengthen my heart. Strengthen my will. I want the grace of that brings salvation. I don't want to waste that grace. I don't want to lose the battle of my soul. By one man's transgression, sin entered. And through sin, death came in. It's still the same principle that the kingdom is fighting against. The warfare has turned to our lives, has turned to our generation. We take our stand in the name of Jesus. Lord, help us. Help us, oh God. He said, I ask for mercy. Help me, Lord. Father, I thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we prayed. Father, I thank you for your servant that you have used tonight, and for the way you helped him. I'm asking Holy Ghost that you expand his capacity, not just to teach, but to also live what he's teaching, in Jesus' name. I pray for all of us who have heard this night, and those who've heard, and those who will hear. I pray, Father, for mercy, that you will have mercy on our souls, in Jesus' name. Many of us are vulnerable. In fact, all of us are vulnerable. But more important, many of us have very, very simple hearts. Very gullible. So easy, like Eve, to be deceived by the enemy. I pray, Father, that you will keep us under the shadows of your wing, that we will not stray like that chicken who've been warned not to go to the dunghill, that our hearts will not stray away from you, in the name of Jesus. You are the only one that can help us. You know our hearts. You know how easy it is for us to go astray. Lord, I pray that you will give us stability. I pray that you give us stability. I pray that you give us stability to stay in the house of the Lord and not move away from it, in Jesus' name. Even the things that you have told us, the commandments you have told us, it will not be grievous to us to obey, in Jesus' name. We thank you, our Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.